You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Welcome to Reality NSFW. Professor Tim watches Survivor. We're back to talk about season number 4, Marquesas, episode number 10. Number 10.
Number 10 will do. Number 10 will do.
Like, I just wanted to introduce you. Like, we're off to a great start. I'm Lauren, joined as always by Cody and the great Professor Tim.
I'm going to call myself number 10 now.
Number 10 on my list. Number 10 on my friend group. Yes, here we are. We are back, people. And I have to say, I cannot wait to hear Professor Tim's thoughts on the great Sean and his girl Zoe this episode.
Ah, well, you know how much I like Zoe, don't you? Or I've liked Zoe's name. Now I've got to know her a little bit. I've rather gone off her, but I hope she's not going to be a guest for next week. That was embarrassing. Here I am, ready to lay in to Zoe, and not in a good way. And you're going to say, "Ooh, and our guest next week is Zoe."
I'm calling her up right now. Like, she's coming.
My goodness. Well, it's taken a little while for her character to emerge, because basically throughout the majority of the show up till now, she's had no character. She just had a name and a lovable name. And now her character's emerged. I rather regret seeing it. I think, you know, there are some people you just think, no, you've not got. You think of Bambi. I look at Zoe and I think, did she never see this film? You know, there are only two points in Bambi which are of significance to anybody. Number one is, run, Bambi, run. Mama, mama, bang. Mama, mama. Your mother cannot be with you anymore. Which is a great moment, you know, that destroyed my childhood. And then the other great moment is, if you've not got nothing to say, don't say, if you've not got nothing pleasant to say, don't say nothing at all. Lots of double negatives from Thumper. You know, he should be teaching everybody English. And but charming. And, you know, those two things, you know, they sort of define one's childhood. And clearly Zoe hasn't seen at least one of them. Maybe she
Zoe was coming. Zoe was coming with fire at Tammy during this episode.
Oh,
their little walk on the beach.
There is a word for Zoe, and it's not attractive, and it definitely isn't an animal in. Oh, actually, I think there are a few of them in Bambi at one point. It's not attractive. Zoe has shown something in Survivor that I've not seen before. It's vicious and nasty. Though I am warned that Johnny is far worse.
The point is,
Lauren, for me, Johnny can never do any harm. He can never do any wrong. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Johnny can do whatever he wants. I will still love him.
Johnny's great, and also you can't say anything bad about Johnny. You're podcasting on his channel, Professor Tim. Come on now.
Oh, the patron business doesn't intimidate me. No, I say what I want to say, and I adore Johnny. So
yes,
you know,
we all adore Johnny here.
Absolutely, but I, you see, I, I,
I didn't know who Zoe was. I just liked her name. And I don't think I like her. And it's really sad because basically I like everybody that I've sort of come across in Survivor. There are some people I think, you know, you've taken a bit of warming to. But Zoe, I've waited so long to see Zoe, and I've been so enthusiastic about her, and she's such a disappointment when she finally emerges out of her chrysalis. It's not a butterfly that's come out. It's sort of a bat, a sort of hell maiden. It's a Valkyrie, and I'm really shocked, really shocked. But there we are. You know, if you want to remake the Ring cycle, I'm sure Zoe will be ready. And she can
the thing that really stood out to me with Zoe was that she made the statement that she wants to kind of distance herself from Tammy, the general, you know, these guys. There's definitely a better way to do that. Because
do you think it's possible that she just had a bad edit? I'd much rather pull back and say, actually, Zoe's fine. She's just had a bad edit. Or do you think really she is as nasty as she comes across?
It's hard to say. And so I could kind of see your perspective on that because we have seen so little of her personality throughout the season, I feel like. So maybe they haven't captured the positive side of her personality. And now she just kind of knows she's on the bottom. She knows she's on her way out. And so that's why
it's like Name of the Rose, isn't it? All these film references, Name of the Rose or the book, you know, do you remember that sort of, the fellow who gets burnt at the stake and he starts confessing everything and Sean Connery wisely says, well, yes, you know, when they're finally accused, they will say yes to whatever, you know, and I feel that's her. Maybe she knows she's on her way out, so she just goes out with a bang.
I think that the writing is on the wall for her. Like she mentions later in the episode that she's trying to make it known that she's not part of any alliance and she's not, you know, aligned with anybody. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, when you know that there's a majority alliance in place, and then you have this other small group of people that are kind of on the outs that are almost an alliance by default because they have no other choice but to band together. You kind of do have to pick a side or else you're an easy choice for both.
Yes. Yes, I suppose so. But what side did she pick? I didn't see her being friendly with any other side.
I don't think she ever picked a side. She was just by herself, a lone wolf. And the way she came across to Tammy was really weird because she's trying to say, I never liked you. We weren't close or anything. They were together from the beginning.
All the time. They were interchangeable. Yeah. And I couldn't really identify one from the other. They were so interchangeable and so nondescript. And now they both have characters. I like Tammy and I dislike Zoe. I dislike the Zoe that I see in this show. I'm sure Zoe in real life is an absolute poppet. Oh, hello, Zoe.
I think they just showed, honestly, because we got so little of an edit from her, you don't really know how she came across throughout the rest of the season to the entire cast.
Well, wasn't this rather stupid of her, frankly? I mean, if you're going to go on a reality TV show, do something to define yourself. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you will be defined in the most nasty way because you will become a plot device. And that's what she's become, isn't it? She has become a semicolon. She's become a piece of punctuation, and not a nice piece of punctuation. She's become an Oxford comma. You call it a Harvard comma. Either way, I don't like it. You know, it's an unwanted bit of punctuation. She has become an unwanted bit of punctuation. She should have got in there early and defined herself as Zoe and, you know, to life. Now, having said that, I've gone down a sort of L'chaim. I've gone into the wrong language.
Well, and now that I think about it, though, she did make a comment in the episode. So now I'm going to kind of backtrack on what I said earlier. Earlier, I said I think she knew she was on her way out. But as I think back on the episode, maybe she didn't know because she mentioned that she wanted to be there and remain the sole survivor.
I think she thought that the trick was to be irritating to everybody, and that way somehow she would she would find her way find her way through. So we start off with this whole episode. It shows people in a really bad light. I think the producers were having a bad day. Maybe it was constipation. Maybe they needed some sort of help. Haven't we got an advert for that? We haven't, have we? No.
Not yet.
No, it's not in the queue. It's not in the queue. You have to ask Johnny about that. It's not in the queue.
We will have soon, I'm sure. I'm sure. The figs are poised and ready to sort of pop into a bottle to be packaged and sold on our channel. So maybe it's constipation or piles or something. I feel it's something going on there with production, because everybody's got a nasty, nasty day. We start off with Sean, who should be doing sort of happiness, but what it comes across as is gloating. I've written it down here, gloating, distasteful, but my G isn't very well defined. It looks a bit like bloating. So we're back to the bodily problems. But no, there's no bloating here. There's just gloating. And it's not just Sean who's gloating. But Vesepia gets into this as well. But I think she's quite mild. And Neela. Neela?
No.
Nalia.
There you go.
Is it Nalia?
Nalia.
Yes. Nalia. I'm so sorry. Nalia. Played him at his own game. What? Talked my head off or something. Tangled my head off.
This is early for you to have a misspelling in your notes.
Yeah, I did it a few days ago because I was expecting to be doing this about a week ago. So I my writing has decayed in a sort of.
So I do. I wonder if you're referencing when Tammy and the general approach Nalia and Pascal about trying to join forces.
Yes, I'm sure.
And then she's rejected by. And then Pascal and Nalia reject them. They don't. She doesn't want to be part of that.
Yes. It's strange, isn't it? I'm going to have to decode my notes. It's like reading some sort of ancient script. And there's hieroglyphics here when I got bored. What's strange is I remember this episode quite favorably, but now I'm thinking back on it, it's quite a negative experience.
Well, that's because we haven't got to the reward challenge yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, not all of it. We haven't gotten to Sean, the best moment from the season.
Okay. So then Zoe is falling out with people. And then I've got a line here, which I cannot repeat on camera. And distancing herself from Tammy. And I've put down here, silly move. It is
agreed.
Silly. It is silly. I think if you're in a reality show, you shouldn't distance yourself from anybody.
Especially this late in the game. You can't afford to be distanced from everybody at this stage of the game.
You could be a little bit gnomic in the comments you make, I suspect, so that people could draw their own conclusions and be a sort of decide that they like or don't like you on their own. But I think there should always be a door left open, or a cat flap or something in the tent. We haven't seen any livestock in this show so far.
No, not really. Not alive, anyway. We saw,
not alive. All
we
we've
saw
seen
a pig.
Is, did we see a pig?
He was dead. Part of the reward. I have a. That was really interesting, but we'll talk about that, I guess, when we get there. But
I saw some episodes of a TV show the other night with Tom Cruise's ex-wife Nicole Kidman, and there was a dead goat in there. The goat was alive in one scene, and then he was killed. And he had such lovely eyes. I looked after goats. I find it very distressing when our livestock are slaughtered. But there we are.
Anyway. Yeah, a goat, absolutely not. Like,
goats are lovely.
There's no way.
Goats have a musical quality and an individuality. Each goat makes their own sound and their own noises. And Cody's looking horrified. But yeah, all those noises are not always from the front.
No, that's,
but they do.
That's for
but
sure.
They are all. They are. Each goat is distinctive and individual.
My fiance's best friend just got like three goats.
Really?
And for a while, I have no idea what kind they are. They're just goats to me, but they're like normal sized goats, or they will be when they grow up. But she got them as
babies. Little goats. They're cute. They're
just little babies. And
wonderful.
Before they had built like the pen outside to keep them in, they were staying in her house.
Lovely. So she had in these little bed? Goats
living in her house. And they're getting bigger now. They're not huge.
They
now,
didn't go though. Up to the bedroom.
No, I don't think so. I think they stayed mostly
downstairs. Because when I was looking after goats, there was, I didn't really have a house. I just had a sort of hovel. So there was no distinction between the place where the goats slept and the place where I slept.
Well, it was challenging for them to keep them from upstairs because they're excellent climbers.
Well, so they are excellent climbers. They can get over just about anything. They also snuggle up to you. And it's very nice sort of waking up in the morning with 20 goats all over you. and goat produce, of course.
Unnaturally.
Yeah, they just never seem to sort of stop. So it is quite smelly, the whole goat imagine. Experience. But I think goats should be introduced into Survivor, not as a food source, but as fellow companions. You could replace Zoe with a goat, and you could say, you know, this Zoe has now been replaced by an animal. And so the real Zoe will have to go back home, and this will be the animal who will continue the Survivor experience, and she'd win.
You think the goat would be more entertaining than what Zoe gave us this season?
I would vote for her every time. Zoe. So,
I do have to tell you, though, Professor Tim, there are goats that do come up in a future season.
Really? As contestants?
No.
Oh, how sad. How sad.
Unfortunately, not.
I do have a confession that I had 100 goats at various times on my hillside, but many of the boy goats who I got very close to had very short lives. And I named them after people that I knew in the village. Dimitri, Yorgo, Elias. And there were lots of them with the same name because they had to be replaced regularly.
Oh, no.
It's awful. Baptisms, weddings. I was going to say baptisms, weddings, bar mitzvahs, but I don't think there are very many bar mitzvahs on a Greek hillside. But yeah, I'm available for bar mitzvahs and weddings. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, you're welcome to come. Lauren is coming to my wedding. If you can get over here, you can come.
I come over there, do my Fiddler on the Roof impressions and Mrs. Doubtfire. Oh, dear.
Yeah, we'll fire the DJ and have you come up.
Fire the DJ.
He doesn't watch his show, so it's okay to say that.
Yeah, no. He may do afterwards. We could replace the DJ with a goat. What are your preferential tunes?
Oh, we have a whole variety of things that
you use. Are you going to have some Russian rap? You need some Russian rap.
Not a lot of Russian rap on the playlist. I'm really? Not gonna lie.
Can I suggest the great Aksimiron? Aksimiron would do a fine, you know, fine stuff with Aksimiron. Miron. We wrote things together. It was wonderful. Wonderful.
That's
don't understand a word. But but I remember going along to a to one of these Saturday night TV shows in Moscow, so on the first channel or something. I don't remember what. And there was the mayor of Moscow and somebody else, and then Miron. And Miron did his song at the end, and it was slightly censored, I think. And he did it very nicely. He was very good. And I laughed and I clapped and I did all the things I was supposed to do as a member of the audience. And at the end, the host came up into the audience and said, "We have a gift for one member of the audience, a T-shirt that all the guests have signed." And I thought, "Oh, that's very nice." And then he gave it to me. And then he said, "I have a question for you." And I said, "Duh." He said, "Do you understand anything that's been going on?" I said, "Niet." He said, "But you've been laughing in all the right places." I said, "Well, I'm a good member of the audience." So,
that's awesome.
And I would be a terribly good DJ. I would do all the right things, not necessarily in the right places, not necessarily at the right time, but I would do all the right things at some point in the evening.
Well, that's another thing that our Johnny Fairplay does. He's a DJ also.
Yep.
Is he really? Why aren't you getting Johnny Fairplay?
He should be coming up on our show here pretty soon.
Why
didn't I get him for my wedding?
Yes.
Oh, good Lord. I bet it would have cost, I don't even know how much it would cost to fly him and all of his equipment up here to DJ my wedding. So I just...
Where are you? Are you in some strange place?
Well, I'm in Vermont, which is kind of a strange place among Americans.
Isn't that where the Sound of Music people lived?
Yes, exactly. So,
are you actually linked to the Von Trapp family singers? Are you a Von Trapp family singer?
I am not a singer in any aspect.
Really? You could learn. No, you could learn. At this moment, we should start with, you start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. When you read, you begin with Lauren.
ABC.
When you sing, you begin with Do, Re, Mi. Do, Re, Mi, Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti.
You could sing so much better.
Podcast, everyone would shut it off immediately. It would be awful.
It would be lovely. We'll just teach you how to sing. If Julie Andrews can teach all those children, I'm sure we can teach Cody and Lauren.
They were talented. The children were talented. You are also sitting here with Cody and myself, who are not musically talented.
I feel like singing is a skill and a talent that you really have to be born with. It's very difficult to learn.
No, complete rubbish.
You have to have the foundation there already to build on.
I'm sure as a small baby, Cody, you were singing your heart out and you were a joy to everybody. Lauren, I'm sure as we walked past your cradle, we would have heard these dulcet tones. And it would have been like the Sleeping Beauty on a good day.
It would be a screeching noise coming out of my mouth.
I do remember once auditioning an opera singer in a very small room, and I did have that same impression at that moment. I thought this is a little bit strong. Have I ever been to Newfoundland? I thought you wrote down there. Have you ever been to Neverland? I was going to say, absolutely. It was the first play I directed, Peter Pan. But Newfoundland, no, but I want a Newfoundland dog. I think a Newfoundland dog, I'd never need to have central heating. either that or a Leon bear. I knew a Leon bear when I lived in Greece. I had some great French friends, and they had a Leon bear. And I was introduced to Bruno the Leon bear when he was a puppy. And the moment he was put into my lap, He peed all over me. It was wonderful, warm and joyful, and not that I'm expressing a sort of preference for strange activities. So Bruno, and Bruno got to be incredibly big. He got sort of the same size as a Newfoundland dog, and Roger would call me and say, "Will you come to dinner?" And I'd say, "Oh yes, I will. All right, I will get a mop." And and I would arrive, and Bruno, the heavens opened, and Bruno just peed for pleasure all over the floor as I knocked on the door. It happened every single time, And as he got bigger, the deluge got more and more impressive. So anyway, it was actually a British colony until 1940s, but I wasn't born until after that, so I couldn't really take advantage of the Britishness of it all. But Sam, thank you. So Antiros is saying, you're correct, Professor Tim. Your observations on plot and use of character by production to fit their narrative often get so obvious, and your use of punctuation is up there with Dickens. How lovely. I have noticed the occasional Oxford comma in Dickens. I find that's very disturbing. People outside of row 2-4, John was keeping the four together. With him gone, they are falling. Yep, they're falling. Yep, absolutely. John was the glue. And John gone. It's a bit like Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar dead is more powerful than Julius Caesar alive. John's spirit lives on. And the entire show is going to collapse with his departure. Yeah, okay, let's go on.
All right.
Let's get your thoughts on this. I know we're spending a lot of time talking about Survivor.
Let's get your thoughts on this reward challenge.
Yes.
So the challenge involved breaking open coconuts to fill
the bamboo tube. Haven't they done enough breaking open of coconuts. It looked as if they were struggling to break open a coconut for the first time in their life. Surely they've been living on coconuts. I mean, it's the Robinson Crusoe thing.
They didn't have the machete. If you don't have a machete, it's a lot more difficult.
Oh, and they used a machete in at their home, but here they had to bang them on rocks.
Yes.
Seagulls manage. I believe seagulls pick up tortoises and drop them from a great height. So why was it so difficult? Sean did surprisingly well.
He did.
With these very strange edifices that he had to fill up, which I'm sure were based on what's the name of the man who runs all this?
Probst.
Jeff Probst had posed for those receptacles.
I'm going to give you a tough time, Professor Tim. How are you forgetting your man Probst? How?
I think it's intentional. I think it's deliberate. I think Jeff. And then I think he doesn't spell his name properly. How can I remember it?
Yeah, but you talked about on previous episodes you staring at his legs.
Well, I don't think it's his legs which was used to design this artifact that Sean so adroitly filled up. Can you tell? You can tell this challenge was a quick competition. They made this is a cause of the Jordan to Marquesas switch. Is a case of the yes, because they were going to film this episode, this series somewhere else.
In Jordan, they were supposed to film it in Jordan, and then they ended up filming it in Marquesas.
and this was a. You want to hear a fun fact about this season? I really do, Sam. Please tell me. I'm all ears. I'm anatomically blessed with hearing.
Now you're just instantly sitting here waiting for Sam to type it in.
I am now. How can I be all ears when Sam is a sort of is a typing device rather?
Yeah,
than...
but he could be typing like this, where it's just like little.
Yeah. It takes me back to the days of the circle where I was jumbling up what I was seeing and talking about hearing things. It's a form of reality TV synesthesia. There you are.
That's
synesthesia. We all know about synesthesia. It's wonderful. I love naturally. Synesthesia. Yes. Because Scriabin. Sorry, I was sort of spluttering at the computer there. Scriabin wrote symphonies for music and a color organ. I'm sure Jeff Probst has got one of those. And
there's your
fun fact right there. Oh, my fun fact. Oh, yeah. The season's tribal council was built within a 2-week period.
So the set that they filmed tribal council on.
Yeah. I mean, I it's not a very impressive tribal council set, is it?
I would have been interested to see.
The previous one was very impressive.
What they had in store for this season had they not had to change. To a secondary location.
It was originally going to be in the desert, wasn't it? It was going to be a sort of a Lawrence of Arabia type thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what would they would have had tents, I suppose.
Which is an interesting choice of location to begin with, because we're coming off from the heels of Africa.
Yep.
Where they were in kind of a
they were going to film in the same place where Lawrence of Arabia was actually filmed in Jordan. There's a particular area which you get taken to if you go to Jordan and say Lawrence of Arabia was filmed here, and you think, ooh, but surely Lawrence of Arabia was supposed to have taken place down there, but no, it was filmed there.
Yeah, it would have been really interesting because Borneo is obviously filmed on an island and everything, and then they would have done 3 seasons in a row where you wouldn't have had that island setting, because honestly on Survivor what we see is coconuts. If you have coconuts, that's super beneficial because you're able to somewhat stay hydrated.
Yes, but you do remember that coconuts have a negative effect on you as well, don't they? They make you. What do they make you do?
They're kind of a natural laxative, aren't they?
Oh, they are. We're back to the loo.
We're back to this.
We don't get far away from it here.
It just came full circle.
No, but I do think it's a huge benefit if you have coconuts.
Full circle, intestinally. Yeah, I'm sure having a coconut would be very good, but they were going to call it Survivor Arabia. That would have been great. I would really have enjoyed it. You know, hiding behind your camel. it would have been wonderful. Lots of camel riding. They could have learned to ride a camel. Apparently, it's not very nice.
Well, speaking of riding animals, so we get through this reward challenge.
Yep.
And Sean and Pascal are the lucky winners.
Yep.
And they take off on horseback. What did you think of that?
Oh, they did. Oh, no. Sean. He's not got a very good seat, has he? Poor Sean. But he got on very well, I thought. I was quite impressed. By the end of that thing, he was sitting very comfortably. And he was looking as if he was made for the saddle. I'm sure he's been back on a horse since.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
But the beginning was uncomfortable, and he wasn't given a very good mount. He was poor man.
He was struggling. You could tell his facial expression was my favorite part, though. Not even necessarily what he said, but you could just see the agony in his face.
Oh, I mean, it's terrifying. You know, these. You can understand why the Greeks invented the centaur, because it is terrifying to see a man on a horse. And if you've never been on a horse before, it's not just never being on a horse.
He's from like Brooklyn, so he would have maybe never seen horses other than in, like if he's visited Central Park. He's seen a horse there, but he's never. I'm sure he's never been on a horse.
Do you two ride?
No, I don't.
Do you not, Lauren?
I don't ride. I've been on a horse twice.
You don't sing and you don't ride. Surely. These things go together, you see. I'm going back to my sort of Austrian childhood there, you know. Give me an alpine horn. Do you play the alpine horn?
What we figured out, obviously, is that I guess Cody and I are two very boring people, because
Lauren, so what is your favorite thing to do when you're not watching Survivor?
Honestly, being outside and being active, not riding a horse.
Active doing what? Active doing what? Come on.
Running, walking, playing sports.
I can barely hobble around the kitchen. I think running, why run when you can walk?
I enjoy it. It's great.
Oh, I find this.
I don't mind
strange.
It. I've just started running again.
Have you?
Recently. I started running in February, and it was great. I was in a good swing of things, and then I got tendonitis in both of my ankles.
I'm so sorry.
So I couldn't run for like a month while I waited for that to clear up. So I've just started again. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. But
do you do what do you call them, marathons?
I was supposed to do a marathon. I actually got injured. I injured my ankles.
No, not tendonitis as well.
It's a common trend.
But I did.
What was your injury?
My injury?
Yes.
I was playing soccer over the summer with people, and I just...
What's your position? Come on, confess.
Oh, I got you. I play pretty much anywhere but center back, because those people are all really giant and tall.
They are giant, aren't they? Yeah, I know nothing.
I'm 5'3" and small, so that would not benefit me.
I believe I know nothing about football, but in fact, I had a student who was very tiny. And he insisted on me drawing footballers before every lesson. So I've gone through almost every known footballer in the universe. And I have a sort of bank of footballers in my mind. But I don't quite know. I know what they do with their faces. I don't quite know what they do with their feet. But I'm getting down to that point. So Sam Lee says, horses can sense fear. They were just messing with they certainly were. And Sean was an absolute trooper. Sean almost deserves to win because of this. But I still think Sean's going to come second. I'm afraid, but if we concentrated on Sean for this episode, this is a lovely episode, because he just comes into his own, and I wish the edit had given him this episode. I wish they hadn't.
He just has such a fun character in this episode. Like,
he's just so lovely, isn't he? Lovely?
The part with the horse is funny when in the beginning when he's like riding double with the. With their tour leader,
which is sweet.
Yeah, but it's just funny to see him there, because you can tell he's uncomfortable. He's like clinging on to this guy, so it's a funny situation. But then by the time they roll into where the feast is going to take place,
he's on his
chanting
own.
Along yeah. with the locals and getting involved in the ceremony and stuff. So
I'm not completely convinced at that point that he was really really comfortable doing that. I think he might have been set up by production for that moment, but he did it with aplomb, and I was really impressed with him. I just thought, you know, He just needs a hug for this episode because he brought what was unpleasant and grimy into focus as something pleasant. And you know, and he started off badly. All that gloating was not good. What we wanted to see from Sean was what he was the sort of mood, which is the happiness. We didn't want to see why he was happy. I think I would have got rid of why he was happy. I would have just done the happiness. But I think
despite his screen time in the start of the season, where we weren't necessarily seeing the fun, outgoing, energetic Sean that we saw today, I think that you did a good job reading him right, because you've said from day one that you thought that he was just a really sweet guy.
Yep.
And, did I? Yeah, you have. You said that from the very beginning of the season.
Yes.
I like Sean, you see. I like Sean. And I think, I still think Vesepia is keeping all her cards close to her chest, and she's taken the view that everybody's sort of out to kill each other, with the exception of Sean, I think.
So I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've watched season one, season two, season three, and we're getting close to the end of this season. Who is someone that you would want to come back on Survivor and watch play again?
Oh, almost. Oh. You've asked me a question now, and I'm going to say how bad I am at names. But
see, I put you on the spot like you put Cody and I on the spot sometimes, so I had to get a little payback there.
Well, absolutely. I think, can you get Sean on the show? I'd love to get Sean on the show. I'd love to. I'd love to get Sean on the show. John, the general. Vesepia. I'd love to know who Vesepia is, because she's sort of this Vesepia, the enigma. And she just, you know, she's managed to stretch that part out throughout the entire series so far, and it's wonderful. I just think, what a brilliant performance. That is brilliant. And she's understood how to play the game, but also how to do television, because as an enigma and as not saying very much, he's kept our attention. In contrast to Zoe, who's finally got our attention and we don't want it. But who would I like? I would like, all the people I like from the past, I've got sort of slightly sort of jaded experiences, I fear. But I would love to see them all back, I think. There's a person beginning with V. What's his name?
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop, and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand, and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
With a V,
yes.
Not ringing a bell.
Who's the person who won in season one?
Oh, Richard Hatch won season one.
Hatch, I love Hatch.
Yes.
I love Richard.
There's someone that has the last name from season two.
What's his name?
Jeff Varner.
Ah, Varner! Love Varner! Love Varner, love Hatch.
Love Survivor, Varner. Varner makes some mistakes later in life outside of Survivor that guaranteed that he's not going to be back.
Who cares? I just think both of those, Hatch and Varner, are lovely people. and I've had some very nice conversations with them. So they can do nothing wrong as far as I'm concerned. Right, let's go on. Where were we?
So,
the Marquesa feast.
Yes.
So Vesepio says Sean deserved it, and then Sean and Pascal are just simply angelic in collecting these bits and pieces and then doing their dancing with their trousers falling off.
But the other thing that captivated me about was like how they prepared the pig roast. Mm-hmm. Did you see how they like just buried it and left it there for a few days and it cooked in the ground because of the volcanic activity underground?
Yes. Well,
I had never heard of such a thing. So for me, that was, you have to understand, I live in a place that's frozen seven or eight months of the year. So
if you, really?
If you bury something in the ground, it's not going to cook. That's certain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
it was
goodness.
A new concept for me.
Yeah, no, I never really thought of that. I mean, so you live in the United States version of Moscow.
Yeah, it's cold here often.
Or Archangel.
It's very...
Yeah. I do find the cold very frustrating.
Yeah, me too.
But you still live there. That's
I don't want to live there.
No, I don't want to live in Moscow anymore. So I'm not going to anymore. Tim, who is on your All Stars cast from the first? Oh, we've done that bit.
That's what we're working on.
Hatch and Varna. There we are. When you guys get to All Stars, you guys need to have a special where Tim predicts who is on the cast. Oh God, that means I've got to remember who people's names
we'll have
are.
To, that one we'll have to give you some time to study for.
I may just have to do
just
drawing.
Look at the just look
I
at the
can,
wiki.
I can always remember what people
okay.
look like. Yeah. I can't remember who their names are. One of the problems with being a teacher is you sometimes get into that point where you're sort of looking at a class, say you with the hair, and you think, no, that's not an appropriate thing to say.
Well, because you can remember their face.
I'm badly in need of a comb.
Because you can probably remember their face, but after so many hundreds of people, I'm sure it's challenging to remember their names.
If I make an effort, I'm very good at it. But I, my brain seems to get filled with other things. And pig roast are quite popular in my area, says Sam Lee. They like to roast them above ground, though.
They roast them above ground where I am, also.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now I'm thinking of the opening of Fiddler on the Roof, and the fellow comes up to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, is there a proper blessing for a pig roast? No, probably not. Whoopsie, that is inappropriate. I'd love to do Fiddler on the Roof. Do you not think it would be great fun? Have you done? Oh, you don't sing. Sorry.
No.
Yeah, you're talking to the non-singers.
Yeah.
So what did you do at school? Did you do lots of plays at school?
No. I mean, at least where I live, when I was little, I guess we would do, like with music class, every now and then you do like a spring concert and a winter concert and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you don't really have to participate that much as you just have to stand there and pretend to participate.
And just open and close your mouth like a fish.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah,
if you can lip sync, well, I can lip sync with the best of them.
No. So if I sang something, you could lip sync for me.
I can lip sync things that I'm familiar with the best of them.
which sometimes we don't know what you're talking about.
Are you practicing some serious lip syncing for your wedding?
No, I will not be lip syncing at the wedding. I'm
going
to spare.
There's not
going to
be a lip sync battle?
We can have a lip sync battle if you would like, but I am working on potentially some Survivor challenges, though. In lieu of the classic, like bouquet toss and.
But you'd have to get Jeff Varner to pose for the particular object.
Well, I was hoping to get Jeff Probst.
Jeff Probst, not Jeff Varner. Jeff Probst.
Jeff Probst did not answer my wedding invitation.
Did he not?
If you're watching this, Jeff Probst.
RSVPs
were due August 1st.
Jeff Probst. Without Jeff Probst, my life would be so much blander.
Aren't you just thrilled?
I've got his candle in a corner.
Yes, the candle.
And I was thinking at one point of lighting it, and then I thought, no, I can't really.
And on those days that you feel like you need a little extra guidance.
When you need a little lift.
The Jeff Probst prayer candle.
I'm afraid I had to turn him around the other day.
And he's going to look at you and just say, you've got to dig deep.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, it's a capacious candle. As indeed was the object that Sean was filling up. And Sean threw himself into it. I was really impressed with him anyway. Right. Pascal says Sean is honest and straightforward and Pascal feels close to him. Thank God Pascal's finally realized. What slightly worried me about that confession is that it gave the impression that Pascal had only just decided this. Why would Pascal, who is probably the most intelligent person on the show, why would Pascal not have already decided that the moment he saw Sean? I did.
Well, I think the issue was, like, Pascal was so aligned with that Row 2 group because he, in his mind, when he makes a deal or says this is something that he wants to do, he doesn't want to go back on that. But then when he realized what people were doing and in his mind saying that they weren't being fair, he decided to go with V and Sean.
Yes, you see, I think the point Antaros is saying, what does the candle off?
He wants to know what your Jeff Probst candle looks like.
Do you want to see actually, I think this candle might be behind my green screen at this moment, so I don't think I can.
It's a Antros. If you go on Etsy and search for Saint Jeff prayer candle, it should pop right up.
All right, is that what it is? It's Saint Jeff prayer candle. Well, you know, Saint Jeff has done wonders, obviously, and where were we? So I'm so sorry.
No, it's totally fine. We were just talking about
we may have to stop for an advert.
No, we're going to hold those for the end because Lauren has a limited amount of time with us tonight.
Oh, so that's
we're gonna,
okay. Okay, we're right. Gonna well, let's
push them all through.
Let's plow on. Pascal. Yeah. Now, didn't you feel all that stuff with Sean and Pascal? It was very South Pacific, wasn't it? Sorry to keep going on about musicals,
no, I thought that the reward was really neat. Just I did wonder though how you felt about while they were eating, like that scene where they were eating the pig roast came up.
Stuffing stuff in their mouth as if there was no
stuff in their face, and I was like, Professor Tim is going to hate this part. This is going to be the worst.
I did sort of hate that moment. I thought, yeah. you know, hands were made to be used on a fork. Do you not find it really sort of distressing when people expect you to eat with your hands? I have been in situations where that's been expected, and I thought, oh God.
It depends on what you're eating.
And I'll tell you the thing I find really distressing in the kitchen is when somebody expects me to tear to pieces a chicken, and I just think, oh yeah, it's not a nice experience. I think, you know, that chicken has died for me. I'm quite happy to pluck it, but not sort of rip its flesh off.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone wants to do that. But I mean, there's certain foods that you
plucking,
have to
plucking chickens hand. is very therapeutic. I quite enjoy plucking animals, but well, you know, I was brought up on a farm.
If we're ever on Survivor, you're in charge of the chicken plucking.
Yep, I can do the chicken plucking, and you have to say that very carefully.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's a gentle subject.
It is indeed.
But so, no, I thought this is, and I'll just wrap this up. This is the last I have to say about the reward challenge part. Is
you've disappeared.
Cody decided to mute himself.
You muted yourself. He's gone.
He disappeared.
Lauren, he's.
Am I back?
He's popped up in the middle.
He's back.
Us.
Okay, I'm back. So what I was trying to say before I so rudely barged out.
Yeah. What
was I really enjoyed like the getting to see the ceremony that they put on for them. I thought that was really cool. The Marquesan ceremony that they made. I think it's so interesting to see other cultures and how they celebrate and the ceremonies that they do and prayers that they do.
It's the same worldwide. It's just, you know, you just want to share people's joy, whatever form it takes. Of course, theirs was slightly more musical than yours will be.
Can we just move on from that and just...
We shall. You know, I don't think I can dance, but I've tried a few times, but I don't seem to understand. I understand the concept of dancing, but actually doing it with everybody else and singing in a choir, I find really difficult. So I'm quite happy with. I think I'm quite happy being on my own, doing it sort of in front of everybody.
There you go.
I don't think I'm a choral animal, or a sort of ensemble person.
Immunity challenge. Let's talk about that one. That one was an interesting one, also. So they are stilt fighting, Marquesian stilt fighting.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, I found that very dull. I found that very dull.
It was interesting because it was cultural, but it wasn't very like on the edge of your seat because so many people just fell over.
Yeah, and I'm afraid I fell over during that. I'm afraid I did have to pick myself off the desk.
I thought you were going to say you fell over from your chair and onto the floor, but picking yourself off the desk is a little bit better.
I was sort of levering myself off the desk. Bay is coming to. Is coming to pop in and say hello.
And Sam Lee just made a comment. Tammy must have done that before, but I think what it came down to was that she practiced more than other people.
Yeah.
Because she felt like she really needed to win.
She hijacked the practice stilts.
She did. But she said she went off kind of by herself and was able to do it down on the beach where she wasn't very visible to other people. So I think she just had a lot of really good practice and maybe everybody else didn't take it so seriously because when Pascal went up to practice, he got on, fell off and just said, okay, that was it. That's me. That could be the edit.
I was going to say it's more than the edit. They had camera people there to watch these useless stilt moments. And you can say, go on, try the stilts, Pascal. Oh yeah. Okay. And there's nothing worse than trying one of these sort of skills, not being able to do it properly, and then that sort of puts you off. It's like skating. I can't skate. Can you skate? You can. Cody, you're a wizard on the skates, aren't you?
I wouldn't say a wizard. I can stay upright.
Lauren.
I can actually do that. I can skate.
Can you do?
No. We're talking about skating around in a circle.
I can stay
on my feet and skate in a circle.
I have to hold the side. I would love to do tricks, but I have to hold the side. There was after I finished the circle, we've got two big shows in Britain. One's called Strictly Come Dancing and the other one's called Dancing on Ice. And I went to a show and there were lots of Dancing on Ice professionals there, and we were all standing at the bar, and one of them said to me, oh, you're Tim from the circle. And I thought, oh, you know, I beamed with pleasure at having been recognized. And he said, are you doing Strictly Come Dancing or are you going to join us? And I said, ooh. I said, I'm afraid I don't skate. And he said, no, that would be great. That would be great. We'd teach you. And I said, I'd scream. And he said, it rubs like brilliant TV. And I thought, ooh.
It would make good TV.
I would scream, I promise. I would scream. I'd be going round in circles screaming at top volume. It would be like, do you still have nightmares? I sometimes have nightmares and I talk like mad during the night.
I haven't had a nightmare for a long time, but...
You will now. You'll be thinking of Jeff Probst in a moment of excitement.
Yeah. I have been told recently that I was talking in my sleep, so I don't know.
Is this your impending wedding?
I don't know. It
Cody. Virtual hug from the UK.
Thank you. I'm very excited for my wedding. I don't think it's adding a lot.
I'm very excited as well. I want to be there. I want to come and do tradition.
I'm excited to be there. I can't wait for Cody's wedding. I know it's going to be amazing.
I mean, I feel in Vermont, you ought to have the entire Von Trapp family experience. I could come and do it for you.
Yeah, I'm about 40 to 45 minutes away from Stowe, so that's not too bad.
No. We're right here with the sound of music. Yeah, absolutely. And now, do you watch it regularly?
Never, ever. I've seen it. I think I've seen it once, Maybe, Cody, but that's enough. Lauren, I'm not big on musicals.
Tell me, you watch it often.
I do watch it often, probably every single holiday. So like around the holidays, yes.
And Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
No.
Dr. Doolittle?
I mean, I've seen all of these, but yeah, I don't watch them on the regular, but definitely The Sound of Music.
Hans Christian Andersen?
I think the holiday classic in our house is like The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes.
Which is funny because they're really not holiday movies, right? But they always come out during the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah, things like that. Those are our classics. I like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Nobody else in my house likes it, so I get to watch that by myself.
Yeah. Well, you could come and stay here, and you could watch it by yourself here too if you wanted. make sure we've got it on DVD.
Yes.
What do you like in holiday? On holidays, Lauren.
Honestly, Wizard of Oz, we definitely watch that, and then like I said, Sound of Music. That's pretty up there for us as well.
Mary Poppins?
What was that?
Mary Poppins?
Yes, I do enjoy that film. I do enjoy it a lot. So,
what did you think of Mary Poppins Returns? I'm sure this conversation would have been going on in Survivor, by the way. Did you think of Mary Poppins Returns?
I think it's great. I liked it.
Yeah, it would have been better if Emily Blunt could sing. That was the only problem. Die Hard, a Christmas movie. Love Die Hard.
Die Hard's good.
Sam, yeah. Absolutely. And Sam Lee. Surely Sam Lee is the person who did all the stuff with Spider-Man.
Perhaps.
No, that's Stan Lee. That's Stan Lee. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So where are we? Sure.
So Tammy wins immunity, and then we roll into...
You've got the best line, Lauren. We missed the best line, which is Sean's. And Sean, you see, this is why I love Sean. He comes out with the best line in the show. Actually, the best line in all four seasons that I've seen, which is, the best victories are the ones you can share. You could put that above your desk, couldn't you? It's just so lovely. Actually, I think Sean's going to win. I want Sean to win. I don't think he's going to win, but I want Sean to win.
Well, I think that his edit has definitely improved with this episode. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see where that takes him.
But you know, the point is, I could see Sean as being a lovely person from early on.
He seems like a really nice person. And he's a teacher. I think in order to be a teacher...
Is he a teacher?
I believe he's a teacher. Am I wrong?
I've known some absolute shits as teachers, but sorry, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah. And that's true. There are definitely some of those. But I do think, for the most part, in general, teachers, you have to be a special type of person to be a teacher.
Yeah, when I was a seven-year-old child, I remember we had some really sadistic teachers.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, we had a couple of those in my school too.
And for many years, I had a particularly nasty Latin teacher who was a sort of leprechaun or a gnome or something. He wasn't very tall, but he seemed enormous to us when we were small. And he just liked sending us off to be beaten if we didn't learn our Latin verbs.
Yeah. See, by the time I was in school, there was no beating, so we're very lucky.
Yeah. There was, I didn't get beaten, but that's because I could wimp out and say hemophilia. Actually, I didn't know I had hemophilia, so I think my parents had said this, so I managed to avoid ever being beaten. I was the only boy in the school who was never beaten.
Well, there you go.
You know, and I just thought it was because I was saintly. How did I know that I had a medical condition? They still made me play rugby.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but
Which is a very interesting sport.
I took my copy of Lord of the Rings down onto the rugby pitch, and I hid behind the great H because I was terribly thin in those days.
Rugby is not a great sport to play if you're terribly thin.
If the ball came anywhere near me, I ran. It's the only exercise I ever had, and I ran in the other direction.
There you go. That's a good self-preservation technique.
Yep, I knew how to play rugby from that point of view.
Yes. All right. So we move into tribal council. John comes out. He's the first member of our jury.
Yep.
And Zoe is voted out to join him on the jury. She's done.
And And Zoe is voted out by everybody except for Zoe.
Yeah, it's unanimous. Which is, what else would she expect when she doesn't align with the majority alliance and she doesn't try to get herself even in the group of outcasts?
Yeah, I know, but it's just sort of, she was foolish and she came across really badly. Has she ever played since?
I don't believe that Zoe comes back.
I'm so sorry. Oh, Lauren.
I think Lauren's family was expecting some guests.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. I think that they might have arrived.
With some adverts, and we've lost Lauren, and we seem to have acquired Bay. Now, what did Bay think of the show? Tammy gets what? Tammy gets something other. what does Tammy get? Does Tammy get anything special?
Tammy wins immunity.
Tammy gets immunity. That's what it says.
Yeah, Tammy wins immunity. It came down to, so in the immunity challenge, it came down to her and Vesepia going head-to-head, and Tammy won, so she won immunity. But like we kind of talked about earlier, she spent the most time practicing.
Yeah,
and
that makes perfect.
So she had the best chance of getting out there and taking it.
So, right, let's start out. No more Snicker bars for Zoe. Ah, yes, well, we wouldn't want Snicker bars anyway. I find Snicker bars disgusting. We call them something else here. I think we used to call them marathon bars or something.
That's what somebody said up here. I think it was Antaros 360, I think.
All right. Yes. Earlier. So we used to call them marathon bars. And but still I just don't like peanuts.
Yeah, right there. They call marathon Snickers now, Tim. Is what his comment was.
Their comment was. So they are called Snickers now. Yes. Right, okay.
So that's great.
You are a fan of peanuts and peanut butter, aren't you? Because you're American.
Oh yes. Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
And jelly.
Only on like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which I understand is not a big thing in the UK. Is that
no,
true?
No, jelly. I love jelly, but jelly in a bowl, and peanut butter basically in the dustbin.
But I wonder if we refer to jelly as the same thing, because like in America, you have jam, preserves, and jelly. There are three different things that are very similar.
Really? No, jelly is a sort of big sort of thing that wobbles if you touch it.
But that might be Jell-O. That sounds like Jell-O.
Oh, that might be Jell-O. So what is jelly in
America? Jelly would be like, you would have like strawberry jelly or grape jelly, which would just... It's like strawberry jam, but without the strawberries in it.
Oh my goodness! It's cheap strawberry jam.
Right.
I see. Okay. Right. So when people are eating peanut butter and jelly, they're actually eating peanut butter and cheap jam.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I prefer to use either regular jam or preserves, which are preserves tend to have like bigger chunks of fruit in them than jam does.
Really?
Yep.
I've never understood this at all. I have tried making jam and it wasn't very successful. It all went a bit sort of moldy.
It's an art.
We've now got fruit trees in the garden, so I'm hoping next year we will be able to make our own jam again. Or maybe jelly and preserves.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, it's interesting. I've been following some people from the UK on another social media site, and they're discovering all of these American snacks that are not popular in the UK, like peanut butter and jelly.
We should all discover them.
Fluffernutters. Have you ever heard of a Fluffernutter?
No, but I'd love a Fluffernutter.
Okay,
it sounds faintly pornographic.
It does sound a little suggestive, but
yeah,
it's peanut butter with marshmallow fluff. I don't know.
I don't like peanut butter.
Oh, yes,
I'm not going to be able to get on with the Fluffernutters.
And ranch dressing was the other thing that's very popular. Ranch dressing.
Ranch dressing.
Yes, that was the other thing that's very popular. Popular in the U.S. Very popular in the U.S.
What is it?
It's a type of... It's kind of like salad dressing, but you can use it for almost anything. People in the U.S. dip like pizza, wings, salads.
Building.
Not so much building. I guess if you let it sit in the sun long enough, maybe you can build something with it, but... it's Americans dip all sorts of things in it. It's very, very bad for you, but we're not known for having the healthiest food.
I don't think much.
So if you ever find a bottle of Hidden Valley Ranch, salad dressing in the store. You have there to try it out.
We've suddenly acquired another advert.
We have, yes. And that'll be I'll send them the bill for that after.
Absolutely, absolutely. Does it come with blue pills?
It does not, but we do have an advert for that coming up here.
I'm sure we do. We have a little song for that.
We have all sorts of fun information coming up from our awesome sponsors. But before we go, Professor Tim, where can we find you if we would just have to see more Professor Tim?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at Professor_Tim_Wilson. And you can find me on YouTube on Zontul Films Limited, ZONTULFILMSLTD. You see, I did that in an American way. I am practically becoming stateside. And then I've also got a blog, but I'm not doing a lot on the blog at the moment. That's animate-tim.com. And Bay is being very attentive because he misses his sister.
Yes. Ooh. Yes.
Yeah. But I miss her too. A lot. But there we are.
All right. And if you haven't followed Professor Tim's YouTube channel, Zontul Films Limited, be sure to, whether you're in the UK or the US, I'm in the US, and I have been watching a lot of his content lately.
Have you really?
Yes, I have. And I love it. I think you put out some really great stuff. So.
Well, I'm trying to combine politics and history and a little humor. Though a lot of the humor is at the expense of some British politicians, so maybe that doesn't always come across properly. But if you watch a bit of Doctor Who, it sort of works. Are you a Doctor Who fan?
I am not. I have not seen Doctor Who.
Oh no, Doctor Who is wonderful. You have these.
But
sort of
it
things.
Is there. I do know some people who are really into it, but that's just not something I've ever seen.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you must have a look at it because Doctor Who. It's before Harry Potter was under the stairs, in the cupboard under the stairs, there was a cupboard that was bigger on the inside than on the outside, and that is Doctor Who. And you can go in this cupboard and it would take you anywhere.
That is interesting. I will have to check it out.
You have to check it out. It's just spectacular. But of course, Doctor Who gets its idea from Narnia. They're all interchangeable. And Narnia gets its idea from Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Yes.
So, yeah.
We have covered a lot of classics on today's show.
We have, and we've almost covered Survivor. So next week we're going to... next week, this is our promise. Next week we're going to do two episodes.
Yes.
Because Cody has to get married.
Yes, so we're doing two episodes next week, two episodes the following week. That'll close out Marquesas for us.
Then we probably will take a break for a little while and then regroup in October.
Yes, while everybody is enjoying the premiere of Survivor Season 41 on CBS in September, early September. And yeah. I'm going to be out of the country, so I won't be able to watch it.
I'm so sorry. Where are you going to be?
I'll be in Mexico. So we get married on a Saturday. Yes. And then we're 2 weeks in Riviera Maya at an all-inclusive resort before I come back home. If I come back home, I might stay forever.
You will. We need you, Cody.
It sounds. I'll figure out a way to do the podcast from Mexico.
I look forward. And I must apologize for our sort of wayward broadcasting. Sam, I must apologize particularly to you for our wayward broadcasting over the last few weeks. But we are going to try rigorously to stick to Tuesdays.
Yep, and I think that after we take a little break, we start on season 5 or wherever we decide to go next. Maybe we don't go in order. I don't know what our plan will be. We'll discuss that as a group. But wherever we head next, I think a little break will be good for us to get our regroup and get everything together so we can get out here and be a little more consistent, hopefully.
And if we have anybody watching who's been on Survivor as a performer on Survivor, we want you on the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Because we want your experience.
And it's so interesting to hear this story from somebody who's been there and not just seen it on television.
Yeah.
And they can kind of fill in for us maybe some of the gaps that the edit leaves out. So,
yeah, and let us know that you've survived. I mean, it's a celebration. After all, that's what the show is all about. It's some survival. We want to know that the survival was efficacious in every way.
Absolutely. All right. Well, if you guys are looking for me, you can find me on Twitter.
Adverts.
at Cody Survivor. If you're looking for me, you can find me on Twitter at Cody Survivor. That's really my social media channel. And if you do follow me at Cody Survivor, I will always post a link to the YouTube channel before we go live at night. So make sure you hit the subscribe button for Reality NSFW below. Hit the little bell to get notifications, and that'll help you keep in touch with us, but also follow us both on Twitter so that we can send you notifications that way.
Am I allowed to say, Cody and Lauren, thank you so much for the bunch of flowers, which arrived quite suddenly and was much appreciated.
Yeah,
bunch of flowers absolutely. And vase. It was very much appreciated.
Well, I'm glad that you got them, and I'm glad that you got them at all, because I'm very unfamiliar with any florists in the UK, so I really just did my best finding one online.
it was very sweet, unexpected, so, and much appreciated, so thank you.
Wonderful. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Hit the subscribe button below, turn on notifications so that you don't miss another episode of Reality NSFW Rewind. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcasting app, go ahead and give us a 5-star rating and make sure that you subscribe to Reality NSFW so that you can check out all of the great shows that we have to offer. And don't forget to hit up adfreensfw.com, where you can become a patron and get more great content from Johnny Fairplay, Matt Bischoff, Zach Hacker, and all of the other awesome creators that are here on our channel. So thank you so much for joining us this evening, and please stay tuned and hear a quick word from some of our sponsors.
The Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts are all in this summer. But you know what isn't? A wild and hairy bush. Tame your pubes with help from our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand new Lawnmower 4.0. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like Olympic gold? Fellas, do right by your balls and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com with the code SURVIVOR.
Brent, if you're paying attention right now, I know that you've probably had a mishap in the past and you've been trimming down there with not the tools for the job. Well, Brent, that's right. I'm talking to you. I have come to save you, but not just me. The folks at Manscaped. The world is starting to open up, and the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is here to help you get ready. Inside, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver, ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, plus 2 free gifts. What's that, you ask? Performance boxer briefs and the shed travel bag.
Talk about a world-class dismount into the post-quarantine world. This package is the perfect package for your package and peak performance in whatever sport you desire. Wink, wink. The brand new Lawnmower 4.0 is here to take the podium. This fourth-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 also has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch, you can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? Michael Phelps is drooling just thinking about the possibilities.
Now, this package also comes with the weed whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in both your nose and ear. This tool is a lock to take home gold in the biathlon. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motored 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
After trimming your pubes, show them some sportsmanship with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner are the key to feeling victorious this year. Manscaped's also throwing in 2 free gifts to the Performance Package 4.0. That's the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag.
Now go right now to get 20% off and free shipping using promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off. Free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR.
Zach, back in the day, I used to love watching professional wrestling every Saturday morning after my cartoons. And whenever I did, my favorite part was enjoying cereal with it because cereal was cool. But of course, growing up, cereal being the best part as a kid, I had to give it up. Why? Because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you shouldn't really eat. Now, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food and realized I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years, but I finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Now, hey, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring, and Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff.
I am hooked on Magic Spoon too. This stuff has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. We're only talking about 140 calories in a serving. Plus, it's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Now you can build your own box or get a variety pack with available flavors of cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, and cinnamon. I am absolutely hooked on Magic Spoon. Like I said, my favorite is to blend some of those flavors. I like to mix up my cocoa with my frosted. That is some sugary deliciousness that I can't resist in the morning. Johnny, what's your favorite?
Oh, I'm mixing the cocoa with the peanut butter and I'm doing a peanut butter cup action. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's good stuff. And if you want to join us in eating some Magic Spoon, just go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab your delicious cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry, Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.